Welcome to Chapters, the podcast where we hear the stories of readers' lives through the books that have meant the most to them. I'm Mary Mahoney, and today we're continuing our conversation with Jordan, who you may remember from our very first episode. Jordan has a lot of what she calls strong feelings about Harry Potter, so we've decided to give her an entire episode to discuss fan fiction, Harry Potter, and the idea of books as friendship tests. We join our conversation in progress as Jordan describes her teenage interest in fan fiction.
You know, I read some fan fiction.
Yeah. Okay. Where do you read that? Do you read that online?
I did. I haven't in years and years and years. But yeah, online. I think fanfiction.net was the big one.
Yeah, but fan fiction is kind of fascinating because it's this immediate place that people can go and respond, it seems like, to what they're reading.
Yeah.
And kind of manifest that response in a way that builds a community with other people who care about the same thing.
That's very true. And actually, so a good friend of mine, Kate, her sister writes and reads and is into that. We've talked about that a little bit. Apparently, the world is very different than what it was. There's all these new, or maybe I just wasn't into it enough, but I feel like I was sort of on the front end of it. Maybe not, but it seems like the front end of at least internet-based fan fiction.
Okay.
It was just you went and read and pretty much everything was canon, right? Obviously it's new stories, but you're operating from the same starting place of the world that was created by whatever we're basing this on is the world that we live in.
Okay. And now it's different.
Yeah. And then there's all kinds of, there's sci-fi added to it, time travel or whatever. But the things that happened in whatever it was based on happened.
Okay.
But now there's certain tags you can have that's non-canon and all these other things where you have the characters, but nothing that happened in the original work is what actually happened.
Oh.
And so it's this whole thing. It's
brand
this whole
new,
thing.
You basically are writing your own book.
Yeah, and crossover was a little bit of a thing, I remember.
Yeah.
But crossover is apparently a huge thing now.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's a whole
so
thing.
So are you going to go on there and write about Hermione being the central character of Harry Potter?
I have some strong feelings about that. So, I mean, my dog's name is Hermione. Obviously, I'm a big fan of Harry Potter. I think that it was a really cool... I don't know how to say it. I think it's a good series. And I think J.K. Rowling was asked about why so many adult people like the books. And she said something along the lines of good children's books aren't written for children. They're written about basically the problems of life that transcend age, and they're written in ways that children can understand. And that's why everyone likes them, because it's speaking to the problems that everyone has regardless of age.
Yeah.
And I think that's why people like it. I think she was very self-aware in saying that.
Is that how you connect to it? Do you think that...
Yeah, I think so.
There's problems about being... the problems and challenges of being human. Do you see those in those books?
Yeah, I think so. I think one of the biggest ones to me, and a lot of people that I know... Because, reading Harry Potter in a religious setting was sort of an edgy act. There were a lot of us who did it. A lot of us who did it.
So can you talk a little bit about that? So were you in a situation where reading Harry Potter was discouraged because of the religion you were in?
Yes, absolutely. My mom brought Harry Potter into our house. That's a very dramatic way to say it. Specifically for my brother, who ended up reading them all, but he wasn't as into it, at all. He wasn't as into it as I was, period. But he also wasn't particularly into it in the beginning, but she brought it in because she wanted him to have something that he would enjoy, reading, that would make him like reading. And, kids everywhere were flipping the fuck out about these books.
Yeah.
And so she was well, I'll bring this. And she bought an audiobook, which was on cassette tape.
Wow.
And it wasn't BTW. It wasn't weird that it was on a cassette tape.
No.
I was oh yeah, this is normal.
You know what? I love cassette tapes. Sidebar, you could make excellent mixtapes with cassette tapes in a way
from
that you
the radio.
From the radio. Thank you.
Yes.
Exactly. And you could talk over a little bit because you could record right into your boombox.
Yep.
So you could just say hey, I'm just letting you know this next song coming up I chose because X.
Yes. Yeah.
Boom.
Kids will never understand.
They will never understand.
Okay. I mean, the mix CD is fine. Making no, your making a Spotify playlist is a thing.
That's right. But that's a thing that we do for each other.
But it's not like
it's not the same because I can't get on the mic and just say like, Jordan, you know, I'm taking you on this B52 journey right now because I think you need this in your life for X reason.
Yeah.
Okay. Sidebar. So your mom brings Harry Potter into your home.
And it was like a lot of people that we were friends with like couldn't believe it. And it was a thing that we really, after a couple of people freaked out about it, just didn't tell anyone.
So like, people came to you.
To my mom.
To your mom and said, this is not okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure there were sermons preached at my church about how it wasn't okay.
Was this church a part of a denomination that I would know about? Maybe. Or is this like an independent church?
No, it's not independent. It's Assemblies of God.
Okay.
And actually, we went to it sounds like a small church because of all the rules. but it was a really big church. There's like, I mean, it's kind of shrinking, I think. Okay. But when we first started going there were probably like 300 people.
Okay.
And by the time I left, which was when I moved, it was like 1,500. And now I think it went up a little bit and has gone back down to closer to like 1,000. But
fair enough.
But yeah, so like it's Harry Potter in that world was a very
so there were very sermons real thing. Preached at your church against Harry Potter.
Yes, and at the churches that I subsequently attended as an adult when I was doing that.
What would the sermon say about Harry Potter? Like
that it was bringing witchcraft into your children's lives, is exposing them to like bad spirits, even if they didn't like try witchcraft, quote unquote. Like it was like allowing bad spirits in their lives, basically.
Wow,
it's almost mystical, the way that it's talked about. Like,
yeah, I mean, because honestly, I don't even think about that when I think about those books. But
neither did I.
Do you think that the people who were preaching those sermons had actually read the books?
Most of them had not. I would put $100 on your table that most of them had not. Some of them may have done.
So, did that make you question anything about like your participation in that church or like?
Not at the time.
Yeah.
Not at the time. I just kind of was like, you know, shoulder shrug.
Side eye. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't really in me to question at the time. It was a bit, because that's a very frightening thing, like growing up in the like sort of religious circle that we grew up in, like questioning things was a dangerous thing to do. Not physically dangerous, but like an emotionally, spiritually dangerous thing to do.
Well, I'm sure if it's the primary thing you use to organize your world,
your
place within it, then to question that very thing would be terrifying.
Yeah, and question even small parts of it. Like, it's difficult. So I would just be like, I don't agree with that, and just kind of do my thing. My Harry Potter thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Reading Harry Potter was kind of like an edgy thing to do. And a lot of people who are religious who read Harry Potter will take, you know, the good versus evil. And there's clearly a good versus evil, you know, theme. It's a big one, but it's also more complicated than I think a lot of people feel like it is, you know. So like, not to completely nerd out, but this is like a podcast about reading.
Yeah. So this is ground zero of nerding.
So this is the space to do it. So like in the books, there's like these unforgivable curses, right? Mm-hmm. Well, like Harry does two of them consistently, like in the second two books, especially the last or the second two, the last two, and particularly the very last one. He does things that are, you know, not quote unquote like good. He learns about, you know, certain kinds of dark magic that end up kind of being helpful for him.
Yeah.
I think it was a story about how like there's good and there's evil. It's not quite as clear as you thought it was, but there's still like ways that you can triumph over bad things. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So like there is good and there is evil. It's not super clear, but you can still, even though it's
complicated,
you can still like
figure it out
and take stands against certain things. Right. So,
yeah.
So I think it's a little more complicated than, especially like the religious people that I knew who read it, because you know they wanted it to be like a parallel to like our religious experience, right? To like the story of God and everything, and there are whole books written about that. Yeah, like
oh really?
Oh yeah. I've never read any of them, and I couldn't tell you what any of them are called, but I know that they exist.
Okay.
Yeah, so like there's like a very particular narrative of Harry Potter amongst the evangelical Christians who read it. And I don't mean to paint with too broad of a brush, because there's lots of people who are like me who see it a little bit differently.
Sure.
But it's very like good, evil, good wins, you know,
yeah.
God wins.
Well, particularly sort of narrative. Like, when I was in high school, there was a lot of like Harry Potter as a Christ figure.
Oh no, yeah, exactly.
Like he has to go through these trials.
Yeah. He died.
Everybody, he died.
Spoiler, becomes, spoiler,
spoiler, spoiler.
Although the moratorium on this has passed. If you have not read the end or seen the damn movie, that is your own fault.
Like, we're not going to apologize for that because you need to figure that out.
Yeah.
And ask some really hard questions about why you haven't read it yet.
Get on it.
Get on it immediately. Yeah. And are there people out there who haven't read it? It's just amazing to me.
Yes. And there's people who are just like, I'm just not that interested.
Pass. Yeah. My
I'm going to push you down
my mom
if you say that to me. That's the extent of my violence.
This is why how you're scary, because everyone's like, she's so sweet. And then it's like, you know, Megan the roommate is like getting it.
No, I said not Megan. Not Megan. Not Megan. Not Megan the roommate.
Air quotes Jane Eyre, the anonymous Jane Eyre roommate, who we will now refer to as Jane Eyre.
Yeah, Jane Eyre.
The bad news roommate.
Yeah.
My brother wasn't into it, though. I gave him the books. Because you know when you read something and you're so moved by it, or there's just something about it that just lights you up.
Yeah.
And you think, I just had this experience.
Yeah.
You know when you
You had that with Harry Potter?
Oh, yeah.
Good. Okay, well, I'm glad. I was like, I've been like holding my breath about that.
Why?
Like I didn't want to find out because I might like be really upset if you didn't have that.
If I didn't have that experience?
Yeah.
Well, I remember it was the last.
Because like I can't be friends with your brother now.
That's unfortunate. I think you guys can work it out. Maybe you can both bond over not liking Jane Eyre, which he has not read. So you can just assume that maybe you wouldn't like it.
And I haven't read it in like.
Work it
17
out.
Years, so. Oh,
God. You were going to reread it, and I'll have you back on the show to tell us what you've learned.
17 years since I was 13.
Oh, man. Don't depress us. This is too soon. Maybe I'll have you reread it, and I'll invite other people who have listened to this who also want to revisit Jane Eyre. And we can all help each other out.
Yeah.
I remember rereading it. I read it for the first time because it was assigned to like our honors English class freshman year. We had to read over the summer before we started high school.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the last, I put it off last because I think I thought like, oh, this is just some kids book. So if I don't have a lot of time at the end of the summer, I'll just like,
blow through this. Boy, were you wrong.
Yeah. I mean, I remember reading it and just thinking, whoa, like you were just so lit up. I remember being, it's kind of like when you read something that just so captures your imagination.
Wait, are we talking about Jane Eyre or Harry Potter?
Harry Potter.
Okay,
although cool. Jane Eyre also captured my imagination, and I cannot talk about that with you right now because you would not understand.
We'll discuss it at a future time.
Jane Eyre is probably one of my favorite books of all time. Just putting that out there. Anyway, Harry Potter, you just have this book where you're like, I'm so lit up by this experience.
Yeah.
My imagination was totally captured.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you know, reading can be a very solitary experience, but I think when you have that kind of experience, it shows you how it's really not solitary because it drives you to want to talk to someone about this book.
And even people who've never read it.
This thing that you've just been through, like, oh my God, I just read this book. I don't know what to think.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on. And I remember going to school the first day of school, and it was kind of a good, like, conversation starter in a sense because everyone's like, you know when you're a teenager and you sort of already are thinking, if somebody looks at me, I'll die?
Yeah.
And especially on the first day of high school, it's like, if somebody looks Harry Potter at me, I'll die. About. But we all had Harry Potter to talk about.
Was it just the first one?
Yeah, just the first one. And I think the first three were out by then. So I went and got the second and third.
That sounds about like the right time.
I think that's the right time.
Like, I would have been about 14.
Yeah, we were the same. Yeah. I think that's right.
That's about right.
But
I was my cousin's nanny, I was my cousin's babysitter at the time, and I couldn't drive, so I think like 14 was about the.
But I remember thinking like it's almost like a litmus test. You know how if you have books that you're so attached to, either from your childhood or books that you find when
like
you're
I said, I've been holding my breath
adult,
about this. Yeah.
I know, and it almost becomes like a friendship.
Yeah.
Test.
Friendship test.
Friendship test. So, are there books that you ask people
Harry
when
Potter.
You first meet them? Hey, what do you think of this book or an author maybe? And then that tells you something about.
So Harry Potter is definitely one of them.
Yeah.
Anne of Green Gables books are also, but I kind of take a different tack with that.
Okay.
Because I feel like no one has an excuse to have not read and love Harry Potter because they are so popular now.
Yeah.
Anne of Green Gables is a little bit different.
Yeah.
Pretty much everyone's heard of it, but for a lot of people, it's a very peripheral knowledge. It's not a thing that's commonly read in school anymore, I don't think.
No.
And like, you know, I know like I had a very particular experience with my mom reading them to me and then we got the miniseries on tape.
Right.
And I wore them out.
Yeah.
wore them out. So like I know I have a very particular experience. I really more or less use that as like, how kindred are we? You yeah. know, not like, so like Harry Potter, it's like, maybe we can't be friends.
Yeah.
But with Anne of Green Gables, it's more like, how good of friends can we be?
I think that's real. So yeah. that's a way of connecting. So in one sense, it's like a yes or no.
Yeah.
But I think too that books can kind of be like a Rorschach test in the sense yeah. of if you present someone with a book that has very strong characters and say, with whom do you most identify in this book? Then that's not really an issue of do I want to be your friend, yes or mm-hmm. no. It's more of like I'm trying to know. This is a way of me knowing you.
Yeah.
So which, you know, for particularly I would sometimes ask people, which March sister are you in Little Women?
Joe
is my answer too,
but Joe's also like, no, who says Amy? The same people who say Dawn but aren't Dawn, that's who says that they're Whoa. Amy.
Yeah, I know someone who claims to be an Amy.
No,
she's
are
just,
they a Dawn?
Yeah, 100%. Basically their Twitter bio was like, I'm an Amy and everything that means. And I was honestly like, I have no clue what this means, but this is the most dramatic Twitter Little Women yeah. influence bio I've ever seen. But I know someone who self-reports as a Beth.
Here's
the
deal.
We both know a person who says they're a Beth. Allison.
Interesting. I've never met Allison.
Oh, well, I'll make that happen.
I have heard of Allison.
Yes. Yes.
So I feel like everyone is more complicated than we tend to point out.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm more complicated than most, like,
yeah.
categories. I feel like a Joe, but also a little bit like a Beth. I am not quiet like Beth.
No.
But I am nice like Beth.
You are very nice.
Nice Joe person. Was nice, too.
Maybe you're Meg.
Meg. I probably Meg would be Meg.
Meg is very sweet.
Actually, Meg, I would definitely be Meg.
But Meg's also, like,
I would want to be Joe, but I would be Meg. Although, like, I do some Joe things, like, you know, like, move across country to try something new and...
Desire to wear pants.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
She's very adventurous. Joe is very adventurous.
I'm, like, semi-adventurous, okay? I'm sometimes adventurous, and sometimes I'm like, meh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
the meh part of me is the Cancer part of me.
Now you're bringing the Zodiac into yeah. it? Wow.
The meh part of me is, like, I want to stay home, and that's,
you know. That's the Beth or Meg part of you.
Yeah.
Meg wants to help, but she also wants her own life.
Yeah.
Like, she's trying to get her swerve on out there
yeah.
with John Brooks. And Beth is never, there was never a time when Beth was like, I would like to be out at a party.
It's true.
Meeting
but
people.
Beth really, like, her experience, she never had an opportunity to, like, be anything else.
That's true. Yeah, like. That is true. Most people who have an illness in fiction do not come across well.
It's true. They're very,
like
they tend to be very...
Berg in Pride and Prejudice,
yeah.
sickly, air quotes, the yeah. classic 19th century
yeah.
woman who has to take to her bed for an undisclosed illness.
Yeah.
Beth, it's, at yeah. least we know what she had.
Do we? I don't remember.
Scarlet Fever, I'm pretty
oh,
sure.
That's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, but that's
But she was always
connecting.
Sickly, though.
Yeah.
Right? Like, she was always kind of like... Yeah.
Yeah, she was always kind of sickly, but she had music. That was like her way of expressing yeah. herself, etc. But I find that's something I do that maybe I should not do. Maybe it puts undue pressure on people in my life to say, right now, you have to tell me which March right. sister you are.
I will
be.
Return the favor.
Okay.
Which Harry Potter character do you identify with?
Well, Harry and I have the same birthday, but so there's that, but... Yeah. I think I'm a Hermione because I've always kind of lived in my head.
Yeah.
But there's a part of me, too, that... Who's that girl who's like, I can see...
Luna.
Luna. There's a part... There's a very small part of me.
Luna is all of us in some ways.
Luna is all of us because she's so out there with who she is.
Yeah.
And she's kind of like a wise space cadet sort
yeah.
of character.
Luna
I just genuinely
is that,
liked like her
Luna
character.
Is that part of us that we always wanted to be the big part of us that was
not.
Brave enough to just not give a fuck and actually not give a fuck.
At
like,
all.
We all try to pretend like we didn't.
Luna's the
but...
person who's like, what are taxes? What is jury duty?
Yeah.
What is a light bill? Like, she is never
yeah.
thinking about practical concerns
yeah.
in her life at all. Like, the lights just go out in her apartment and she's like... I guess that's just a sign.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah, that's Luna.
And so there's a part of me that sort of, like, wants to be that person
yeah.
and is a little bit of a free spirit. But then the majority of me is sort of
yeah.
practical.
No, but. Yeah. Like, I always feel cliche identifying with Hermione because I don't want it to be like, oh, the girl identifies with the girl. You know what I mean? But there
right.
were also, there were plenty of, like, good female characters because I also am a little bit Professor McGonagall.
Oh,
like,
yeah, for sure.
A little bit.
Yeah.
But also Hermione is kind of like a young professor, right? Like, yeah. So.
I mean, I think what I so connected with her was that she was unapologetically intelligent.
Yeah.
And especially when you're reading her, I think, as a young person and you're in school and you're a girl and you're going to a co-ed school, I do think that there is still persisting issues of women being afraid to raise their hand in a class with other boys, with boys, because they feel like they don't want to appear too intelligent.
Hermione had the voice that we all wanted, like, or all of us who identified with that, like, with learning, right?
Yeah.
Like, for whom learning was the most important part of that time of our life.
Yes.
I think she had the voice that we all wanted to have and sometimes did have. I was a know-it-all, kind of insufferably.
Yeah. Well, in homeschool, you could kind of roll with that. No one was going to check you.
Well, you know? I had friends. Like,
yeah. And when they would say, like, enough, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've had enough of that for today.
Yeah. Hermione, like, my husband and our best friend Jeremy from back home, we would sometimes watch the movies. And they would always, like, roll their eyes, which I would secretly, like, I would openly be mad about, but secretly be like,
so thrilled.
And so actually when my friend met the alligator person, and those kinds of things stopped, it actually started making me sad to, like, watch the movies a little bit, because I was like, you know, now I don't have, like, my two favorite people, like, rolling their eyes about these, like, you know, exasperating things that I secretly love to be exasperating with, you know.
Yeah, that's so fair. You know, that's fair.
So it was a whole thing. I do want to point out a few things about Harry Potter, specifically about Hermione and Ginny, but I'll get to Ginny second.
Okay.
Hermione single-handedly kept those two assholes alive for 7 books. Single fucking handedly.
Like, it's so true.
I mean, honestly, it's true. Honestly. It's 100% true.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that the other two didn't have any skills, but they lacked certain very key skills that were required for survival.
Yeah.
And then, like, by the 7th book, when they're, like, living in the fucking woods, she is the only person who can apparate with any, like, skill. So she's taking them everywhere. She's, like, the one who planned their entire, like, getaway and was prepared in case of an emergency, right? Like, she is the only one who, like, got food for them and knew the kinds of protections to put around their house and or their tent. And, like, I mean, she literally kept them alive.
Yeah, 100%. Like,
she is the hero of the books, in my opinion. Yeah, Harry, blah, blah, blah. But, and I, don't get me wrong, like, I do love Harry, and, of course, Ron in his way, but you know he's sort of a overly tragic character sometimes, I think.
Yeah.
But you know, Hermione, I think, is the true, like, hero, and I don't even think the unsung hero, because I think anyone who, like, really opens their eyes will see that she did it all.
I don't know, though. I think Jordan might be in the minority. Because,
how is that possible?
Listen, I don't want to upset you because, like, I can see how no one listening to this can see Jordan's face right now. But the look she's giving me is terrifying.
I'm so afraid of what you're about to say.
Listen, I agree with you. I'm with you in your camp. But I'm just saying the book is oriented around Harry Potter.
But it's so obvious. She literally took care of them.
Do you think that this is, like, a subversive move by J.K. Rowling to make the real hero not the center of the series?
Not necessarily. I mean, so I don't really...
Well, do you want to...
I don't know that it was subversive.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, I think that...
What do you make
of... I think it was a statement. I think it was a statement that here is this person who was the chosen one, who had all of these big things to do... And there's no such thing as a chosen one who ever did it by themselves. Okay. And in this case, not only did he not do it by himself, like...
A woman did it.
And she did most of it.
Wow.
I mean, like, yeah. So, like, yeah. Technically, like, Harry had, like, the knowledge that Dumbledore passed on to him, right? But he also gave it to Hermione, and she helped him figure out a bunch of shit.
So... What else do you, so are you, are those your thoughts on Hermione? Because I do want to hear what you have to say about
Hermione.
Yeah, I
can move on about Hermione.
Okay, we'll circle back to them and to her in a second.
Yeah, I can move on.
But before we forget, I want to know what you think about.
All right, so here's the situation with Ginny. I think Ginny is the unsung hero.
Oh, all right.
Of the books. And here's why. She is sort of like Luna unashamedly like there. Like she's like, here I am. You don't have to pay attention to me, but
I'm in this.
But this is what I am. What I am, and this is what I am. And
what is she?
She is a very good athlete.
Okay.
She is very skilled at like the things that they're supposed to be learning, right? Like, so she's a good student. She's not like Hermione, but she's a good student. And like, so one of the recurring themes starting in the sixth book, which is when she really starts getting more of her story. A little bit in the fifth book too, though. It turns out like she's really good at all the stuff that Harry's good at. Hmm. Like, dark arts, defense, blah, blah, blah. It sounds weird to say it like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. It sounds super nerdy. But, she's really skilled, right? And like, she catches the attention of the professor in the sixth book who like collects talented students because she's talented. She comes from like a nothing family, which is not usually his style. He likes connected people, but she was like very talented. And so he like recruited her in his little like special students club or whatever.
Yeah, I remember that.
So like she's very good at what she also, and this is like clutch. She is very age appropriately sex positive. In the face of a lot of people who are not sex positive, namely her brothers.
Yeah.
And other people as well. But so she like she dates around, she like explores her sexuality again in an age appropriate way. These are written for teenagers.
Right.
Like they're not out like talking, they're not talking about anybody like having sex, but there's a lot of talk about her like making out with guys, yeah, and being alone with guys
and just like being a desiring person.
Yeah. And she like was very unashamed about that. She goes toe to toe with her brothers about it all the time. And when she ended up with Harry, there was no like, you know, like, I've been with this guy, and like, you know, no apologies for it being weird for him, right? Like,
right.
Like it's very like, yeah, I was with these people,
and yeah,
now I'm with
100%.
You.
100%. But in that sense, I'm kind of curious about. So there's been J.K. Rowling, to circle back to Twitter, taking it full circle. J.K. Rowling's really active on Twitter, and in particular, in the last year or so, has come out with a lot of like, not spoiler alerts, but kind of like more information, yeah, about the franchise.
Which is very controversial in some of the circles that I run in.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I'll hear about the circles you run in one moment.
Yes.
But one of the things that you're making me think about is when you talk about Ginny being a sex positive character, is not long after the last book came out, she was giving a speech somewhere, a talk, I think, in New York. And maybe it was at Carnegie Hall. I hope I'm not dreaming that up. But somewhere she said, in response to a question about Dumbledore, because of course in the last book you get that history of his feud with another, yeah, wizard. And it kind of seems as though like maybe there was more going on there than like a, yeah, friendship feud. And she basically confirmed that that was the case.
And people flipped the fuck out.
People flipped out about that.
Yeah.
And to me, I was kind of like, why didn't you put that in? Why wouldn't you explicitly put that in the book,
yeah,
and create like yet another sex positive presentation?
Yeah.
Because as we said, there's not that a ton of representations of,
yeah,
like any kind of queer desire,
oh, yeah,
in a lot of YA books, particularly, mm-hmm, big series. I mean, I think now we're kind of hopefully getting into an age where more of that will happen. But what do you make of, first, that admission, but also a lot of the revelations that she's come out with? Because I think one of the other things she said was that Hermione should have been with Harry.
Yeah. So,
or at least she engaged, because that's been something that, yeah, fans have spoken about, right?
Yeah.
That they wish that that had happened.
Yeah.
And she was like, I understand.
So there's two things. The first is, it would have been great if Dumbledore had just been, like, straight up gay, right? Like, in the books, and it wasn't a thing that you had to release after. I think also, though, and this is super unfair to every LGBT person that exists.
Yeah.
That is out there. But I think writing books for kids, people are really bigoted. And she possibly was afraid of not selling any books, which is, like, super,
yeah,
you know, capitalist, you know, way for her to write the books, you know, like, I want to sell these, right? You know,
right.
Or maybe it was just, I want people to read these. And maybe if there's a gay character that works with children because of some really bigoted stereotypes that we have, like, maybe she didn't want to, which is, I think is super unfortunate.
Yeah.
But that brings me to some of the controversy. So some of the religious people that I have been in contact with that read Harry Potter, that are from, you know, my former life, they hate that she does that. And they have, like, these philosophical discussions about, like, does she have a right to add to the story now that the story is done? They say she presented the material and it's no longer for her.
The author's dead.
Yeah. Like, it is no longer for her to provide us with any information. We should be able to do what we want with the books now. I disagree with that. Mm-hmm. I think that just as much as Harry Potter became a whole world for us inside our own heads, it was that probably times 1,000 for her. Yeah. Like, how you think about, like, how much went into writing those books and how much probably was kept out of it. Even. Right. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. That was part of her world.
Yeah.
Now, that being said, that when she came out and said that she thought Harry and Hermione probably should have been together, engaged with that idea, and particularly that Hermione and Ron didn't necessarily go together, there was, in this same sort of circle, and in others as well, sort of a backlash to that, because it is discussed, at least in this circle that I run in, that she wrote Harry Potter with a very particular literary formula. And that's not a bad thing. It's like a, you know, philosophy of writing. It's the alchemical, I don't know the right vernacular because I'm not an English major. Sure. But, like, there's, like, this alchemical, like, way of creating a story. And Ron and Hermione were, like, the... Oh, I can't remember. It's two chemicals. Yeah. Like, the acid in the base, or the alkali and
opposites
the...
Opposites attract.
Yeah, so, situation. Like... Right. So, so it was very confusing based on that, because there had been lots of discussions about her using that method, like reread the book under that paradigm and it fit perfectly. It seemed like maybe she did that on purpose, which a lot of writers do. And then for her to come out and say later that Ron and Hermione shouldn't have been together disconnected that. Hmm. So part of me wonders, like, did she write it that way and she just changed her mind later? Hmm. Or did she not actually write the book with this, like, alchemical, like, perspective in mind? Because I think that maybe, you know, I mean, this is true for pretty much every theory that ever existed when it comes to social science, and I think you probably can relate to this, which is that our theories are almost all retrospective, and they come from a particular point of view, which is, in our case, a very Western, you know, social perspective. And so that alchemical theory of literary writing could just be based on something that happens a lot anyway. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It is the way that people in our society write a lot, and it's not something that is always conscious. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So maybe it reflects what she did, not because she was conscious about doing it, but because it was, that theory was created to reflect something that we already do. So
I think the concern, though, is kind of like, I think it's interesting when she weighs in on fan mm-hmm. debates, because it shows how, like, ongoing the interest in her
and that it's still important to her.
It's still important to her. But I'm also concerned that, you know, it could potentially become like a, I think some people are saying the fear is that it's going to be like overbaking a cake. Like, she needs...
No, that could be true. It's also her cake to overbake.
It's her cake.
If we're being honest.
I think it's cool because I like when she weighs in on, I think there's a stage production in London being developed, and they've cast a black actress as Hermione.
Yeah.
And she came out and said there is no description in the book that would make that a false
choice. Even if there was, who cares?
And even if there was, who cares? Which I thought was really wonderful to kind of combat a lot of the
Everybody calm down.
Yeah, everybody calm down. But it did remind me of our potential business idea of a social media blackout consulting group.
Yeah.
Because there are other authors who do this too, who come out and speak with fans on social media in ways that are not always productive.
Yeah.
And Jordan and I have monitored some of this and said our, you know, business model is to come in and we will take over your social media account for
a certain amount of time.
And basically our role is just to completely shut it down.
It was actually suggested to me that we should also market ourselves to third parties who could hire us on behalf of other people.
Oh, yeah.
That might actually be where the real market is.
I think that's wise.
Yeah.
I think we should do that because we've seen too many social media accounts. We won't go into it. where people have just are wilding out in ways that are completely inappropriate, yeah. and they need to be saved from themselves.
Yeah.
In which case someone would hire us on behalf of that group.
Or they could hire directly.
Or they could hire us directly, and that's fine. But just to come in and say, like, maybe now is not the time to float, you know, a new ending to your book that's much beloved.
Yeah.
That makes because, no sense.
So, and I have complicated feelings about Ron and Hermione, too. Because Hermione did single-handedly keep those two assholes alive for 7 books.
I love how much you're here for Hermione. Good
I am.
For you.
I am. So I do like the whole opposites attract thing. Everybody likes that, I think, or a lot of people like
I just
it.
Think that that's a trope that's everywhere.
Like, it is.
We're not getting away from it, and I wouldn't be critical of her for using it. Because it's like right. every relationship, even platonic relationships, are presented yeah. as like, you and I met, and we were different, and then we learned to appreciate our differences.
Yeah,
you know, end scene. So
and like, it's nice to like even each other out, right? Like that's a good thing to have. But I don't know. Like to me, like I was glad that they ended up together, but I would have been fine if they didn't. Mostly, I wanted Harry and Jenny to be together because I thought that they were well suited.
Yeah. Have you ever written any fan fiction based on Harry Potter?
I have not.
Wow. That's fine.
I haven't read any fan fiction.
Okay. So. I haven't either, but we will look into it because, yeah.
I will.
We'll be exploring that. So, and I hope to have someone on the podcast who writes fan fiction
yeah.
and can share with us
yeah.
you know, what that all means. And if you're out there and you write Harry Potter fan fiction, get in touch with us. Yeah. We'd love to talk to you. Or Babysitter's Club fan fiction.
Jesus, I wonder if also that's a thing. It's got to be a thing.
We'll look it up after
Everything's
this.
A thing
We'll
now.
Look it up after this. We'll see what's going yeah. on with that. But yeah.
So Ginny is the unsung hero. Hermione is the maybe not properly sung hero, but should be widely recognized hero.
I think so. You should, yeah.
And Harry was just sort of shunted along the process, I feel like.
I feel like their role was to say, like, well, you guys have a lot of heart. You have a lot of courage. You have a lot of, you
yeah.
know.
Yeah.
Like, you're bringing that to the party.
Yeah. Are I mean, like, when he was all school? Like, you guys, no. like, don't have to come with me. Like, you guys shouldn't come with me. It's too dangerous. Like, what the fuck did you think you were going to do without her?
Yeah.
Like, what? You can't yeah. even fix your damn glasses. No.
Whoa. But I like that sense that I think a lot of hero tropes are kind of like the self-made man.
Yeah.
Like I was born in a log cabin. I built myself. Nobody helped me. I did yeah. everything myself. And these books so fly in the face of that. So I think, too, that's a really good thing.
Yeah.
For everybody to kind of a lesson that's good for everybody to get from that is kind of like it's okay. And it's actually good to try to, you know, have other people help you do what you need to do,
yeah.
but then honor those friendships and be grateful and
yeah.
not be someone who's like, I'm erasing my personal history or curating it in such a way that
yeah.
it appears I did everything myself.
Yeah.
So whatever you may think of those books too, that's something that I got out of those books
yeah.
anyway.
But clearly they were formative.
Yeah, for
we
sure.
We didn't even get to the Hunger Games.
We didn't even get to the Hunger Games.
I'm going to tell you what I'm not open to uh-huh. is people who don't like Ginny Weasley.
Whoa. Okay.
That's not what I'm open to.
Well, I hope you don't create some kind of Twitter firestorm around yourself, but...
I hope I do.
Wow.
Mm-mm.
Confrontational.
There has been, like, I've heard some, like...
What if your roommate, ex-roommate comes out of the woodwork?
Hopefully not.
Okay.
And if she does, whatever.
Yeah.
I was going to blow a raspberry on my hand, but I thought that might sound weird on the podcast.
Oh, so. My gosh. All right. So. Well...
Twitter firestorm. Ginny Weasley.
Is the unsung hero of Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Okay.
And she is not vapid, which I have heard people call her.
Wow. All right. Well, I stand with you on that one.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you again. Our thanks to Jordan for continuing to share her stories with us and for potentially creating a Twitter firestorm around herself in the process. If you'd like to get in touch with Jordan about Harry Potter, Hermione, or Jenny Weasley, you can find her on Twitter at jhelene. That's J-H-E-L-E-N-E. Visit our website, www.chapterspod.com, if you'd like to share your story on Chapters. We are dedicated to sharing the stories of readers' lives through the books that have meant the most to them. On our website, you can also find links to every book mentioned on this and every episode. You can follow us at ChaptersPod on Twitter and find us on Facebook. I'm Mary Mahoney, and you can follow me at MaryMahoney123. I'd like to thank our technical director, Taylor,
who engineered and produced this episode and also wrote our theme music. She can be found on Twitter at MJTThePhD. Thanks for listening to Chapters.